Welcome to our 52nd episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. We record this at September 16th, 2021. In today's episode, we will talk about the planning scope and team for WordPress 5.9, the roadmap for WooCommerce blocks, and of course, this week's Gutenberg 11.5 release. I am Birgit Pauli-Haag, WordPress developer advocate and curator for Gutenberg Times. And again, I'm delighted to have with me on the show co-host Jagosz, or Greg, Tsiolkovsky, JavaScript developer at Automattic and WordPress core contributor. Hi, Jagosz, how are you doing today?
Hello, Birgit. I'm fine. I'm looking forward to my vacation that starts this weekend. Yes. I'm going to Greece. It's like first time since 2 years going abroad. So I'm really excited, but also not so happy about all the paperwork that is necessary to travel these days.
Yeah, with all the COVID and vaccines and all that kind of thing. Is that what you're referring to with paperwork?
Yes, like have five forms to fill in for myself and my family. It's strange. Like, I guess you know that because you traveled from States to Germany a few weeks back.
Yeah, we did. And I scheduled my test that I have to do because United States changed how they let people in. And now I have to have a test that's not older than 3 days to get in, although I'm vaccinated. So it's just kind of, it's strange. It's all strange.
Yeah. Well, at least I don't have to do any tests because I'm also vaccinated. So that's on the good side here.
Yeah, on the way in, we only needed to show our vaccination records and be done with it. But on the way back, it's going to be both. So, we start our episode today with an announcement, with announcements that Josefa Hayden-Chomfossi published the preliminary planning for WordPress 5.9. That's supposed to be released December 14th, 2021. Yes, it's again just before the holidays, and many sites will wait until January to update, but most sites, turns out, update right away. So we did this, have this exercise now for the last 4 years, I think, as far as I can remember. But
yes, even WordPress 5.0, it was released on December 8th, 9th, I don't remember exactly, but or maybe 3rd, but it was in December and we had the same discussion why it's happening just before the Christmas.
Right, yeah. And
we are a worldwide project. It's not only Christmas for people. Some people don't even know what that is and they just have their own holidays. Yeah.
And, the world does not stop when WordPress releases. And we found that out with 5.0. The internet did not break and everything was going smoothly. So I know there are a few agencies that want to close down over Christmas and they just, I don't think it's a hard sell for them to say we do all the upgrades in January when we come back. Anybody?
It's perfectly fine.
Yeah, yes. I think so too, yeah. So as they did for 5.8, there will be a go, no-go decision for what will be in the release. And that is scheduled to happen on October 12th. And that's about 4 weeks ago. That's in 4 weeks. And the feature freeze will be November 9th. And then a beta 1 is supposed to be ready for November 16th. So people get cracking.
I think the series is a bit smaller in the scope. So I think that those dates makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I think the schedule for the 5.8 was a bit longer, especially between the feature freeze. There was 2 weeks, but at the end of the day, I don't think that matters that much.
Mostly not for Gutenberg because you patch back to the WordPress right away when you have bug fixes. Yeah. So the scope follows pretty much what Matthias Ventura published earlier this month as the preliminary scope. So we will have blocks with intrinsic web design, then the navigation menus interface, the user interface for the theme JSON. Theme JSON was introduced for theme developers with 5.8, and 5.9 will have the first version of the interface, so users can be can also configure their themes and their block editor through that. There's also refining of editing flows for block themes, a new default theme, and additional design tools on from the block editor. And then there are a few, Josefa called them hopefuls, that might get in, but they might not get in. And part of it is the pattern insertion and creation feature, so that you can submit patterns to the directory and then also insert them directly from the inserter. Right now you have to click the copy button and then copy paste them. And for 5.9, the meta team is aiming for insertion into the block editor. Then also unzip rollback failsafe. There's a whole team working on that. More PHP unit tests and then improve compatibility with PHP 8.0 and 8.1. But that's
so the last three items are unrelated to the Gutenberg at all, but mm-hmm. in some ways they improve the overall quality on WordPress core, so it's maybe somehow
right.
related.
Right. Yeah. So that's that. The team is release lead is again Matt Malamig with Josefa being the coordinator, I think.
And the marketing team lead.
And the marketing team lead, yeah. With that, and what else is there already in the post?
I've seen that a few days before, and the list was still missing a few names. I don't know if it was updated since then.
Oh, that was quite a while ago. Oh, here we go. So, yeah, September 3rd was it published. Yeah, and the team to go back to that. So, release lead is Matt Mullenweg. Marketing and comms is Josefa Hayden. Technical writer is Jonathan Bosinger. And those are the leads that are filled in. And I think the rest is going to come together when the meeting is, the core chat meeting later on. All right.
Yeah, it's probably still time to volunteer if some of our listeners want to jump in and help with the release. Even as people who just watch the process and be ready for the next major release to take this leadership role.
Yeah, Josefa asked for volunteers for triage lead and the release coordinators. If you don't triage your the bugs or the tickets that are supposed to go into 5.9 and see how they're going, you're not going to get a release together. And the coordinators are really important to get all the teams ready and working on this. I think there are a few volunteers already on the post in the comment section, but you can still throw your hat in the ring. So that is about 5.9. I think the next date for that to watch is October 12th with a go, no go, because that will determine what exactly will come into the release from the navigation screen and new navigation blocks. See how far the gallery block, the new gallery block refactored is going. That's still in the experiments. And there are a few other things that might or might not come.
Yeah, I think the most important one would be the navigation block and the navigation screen. Mm-hmm. That's quite a huge project that is in works for quite a while.
Yeah, I think over almost 2 years. And it's also, I just saw, and we'll see it in the updates later. Yeah, there are some discussions going on that our listeners might want to chime in terms of backwards compatibility. So we promised also a WooCommerce roadmap regarding blocks. And Darren Ether from the team put a nice blog post together with a lot of information about that, what is happening and what is in the near future or what is soon happening. And the high priority is to build robust blocks for checkout and cart, the shopping cart, that not only give the store owner and their customers a much better user experience, but also allows for extensibility for third-party tools. And the blocks will become the default way to handle checkout and carts soon. They were a little bit cagey with dates and something, but it's definitely something to watch out for. They will also have, for the transition, fallbacks to shortcuts and the shortcut for carts and checkout. And then if the extension isn't optimized for blocks.
Yeah. So we'll include also a link to the GitHub repository that contains all the blocks. And there is a few of them and they are very advanced. I must say that in the WordPress core, we have a lot of blocks. However, there are more of the, you know, on the side of editing content. So there are, the complexity comes only in the block editor, whereas Woo, they do something really impressive on the front end. So those blocks are interactive. They are optimized in terms of performance. So that's a really impressive work on their side. And I've been watching that for quite a while. So it's in works for over 2 years now. And they are improving, like the initial implementation, it was mostly bringing back compatibility from short, that was transitioned from short codes to blocks. So and I remember the first prototype, it was it was creating in the safe implementation, the short code, and it was just like, you know, working. So the block editor experience was the change, but the rest stayed the same, but they have evolved in so many ways. And they also shared some wins for the users and for shop owners, like the checkout flows are now much more smoother. And that leads to better conversion rates, which is like the whole goal of this concept.
Yeah.
It's also now you have the ability to preview it, you know, like preview how cart and checkout looks from the editor. Mm-hmm. And you know, it sounds in our context when we talk all the time about the block editor and like the preview is something you just take for granted. But here we are. It's like improvement in their workflows. And they were also talking about the iterations they are doing and how they are trying to use inner blocks to structure or architect their blocks. And that's also a great way that when they are presenting in the post how it empowers users to add their own integration pretty easily. Like you have now a checkout form and you can inject any type of blocks, like you can add a heading in any place you want. You can add an image and like whatever you like, you can add there and also reorder items, like change headings. It's something that wasn't possible before and this just opens new possibilities. And yeah, I'm also happy to see that this flow is now becoming the default one because it was present, but it was only for some extension that were in WooCommerce store by default. But now it's open also for to plugin authors. That's the biggest change.
Yeah, and I really like how Darren put those the post together. It has many screenshots in there, so you get really a good picture of what's going to happen. So check it out. There's also some work being done to prepare WooCommerce for the site editing feature that's coming to 5.9 somehow or 6.0. I think it was good for the WooCommerce team to wait until the block editor was a little bit more stable and had more features for extensibility. And I'm glad that they found it now worthwhile to put it together and that the user experience is up to the quality that they wanted to. And that will open up the signal also for other plugin developers and also gives quite a nice set of example code that you can study if you are into reading code. So as Greg said, we're going to share not only the post in show notes, but also the GitHub repository so you can check it out. Now, I have the last announcement in our then we get to the release, is that our next live Q&A on the Gutenberg Times YouTube channel will be October 7th at 1600 UTC, 11 a.m. Eastern, and 1800 Central Europe time. Sorry, got all the times mixed up again. That is pretty much the story of this week for me. I go either way, yeah, but I always go wrong. So I need to read it and kind of pronounce it right. So October 7th, 1600 UTC. And we will discuss with experienced WordPress theme developers how they transition from building a classic theme to a block-based theme and using theme JSON and also full site editing and the global styles as far as it's already available. And we will have as guest Ellen Bauer and Elmer Studio, and they published just recently their Eno theme. That is their block-based theme, and they have additional features in there that will cover that. Carolina Niemark, who is on the themes team and also worked on the 2021 blocks, TT1 blocks theme. And that's the block-based 2021 brother. And she also has a site called Full Site Editing, where she teaches full site editing to theme developers. So it's great to have her on the show. And then the last one is Anders Noren, who designed 2020 default theme last year, and he's working on a new theme as we speak. Oh yeah, and by the way, his theme Excel is actually powering the Gutenberg Times site for, I don't know, half a year now. So I'm glad to have those two, Ellen and Carolina and Anders, on the show on October 7th.
Yeah, I think the lineup is just so great. I'm looking forward to this Q&A session. I think you did a great job convincing all the people who have so much experience building full site editing themes to be on the show.
Yeah, and I'm really happy that they all make the time to educate our community on this, and also not only to be on the show to take the time, but also take the time and kind of work through this, because we all know that if you are an early adopter, you basically do all the bug testing and and quality assurance for the team, but you also have to invest a lot more time because, of course, documentation is not yet complete or changes, and so that's it's a major undertaking. And I'm glad that these three are coming to the show and tell us what they have found.
Yeah, but there's also this bright side that you are on the bleeding edge of innovation, and you are part of the process, and you have you influence how this all shapes up. So
absolutely.
I think it has more pros than cons.
Oh, absolutely. Looking back the 3 years, block editor, most of the early adopters have had a really jump on the new technology, and we're supported by big acquisitions or hired just right away because of the expertise that they have shown. And it will be similar to theme developers that are early adopting these new features, even if it's a little bit of a heartache or headache, more a headache. Yeah, and it's the cutting edge indeed, and sometimes it's the bleeding edge. You're right.
Yeah, but in this context, which makes me very happy, is that all three invited guests, they are in the community for quite a while, and they seem to be aligned with the vision, and they are adjusting their themes to be up to date, which is really impressive.
Yeah, and they totally get the vision. Yeah, and all three of them have published quite a bit of their learnings. So yes, I will share a few links in the show notes so you can check them out, but definitely sign up for the register for the live Q&A so you get also your questions answered. So that brings us to the Gutenberg 11.5 release. We are work as of today. There is not a final release yet because there are some problems with the build sequence.
Yeah, it's some turbulences like during the flight. I mean, everything is ready, it's just the process didn't end up successfully, and it's, you know, it's more of the technical challenge of the release process itself than the something is wrong. So I hope that the time when this podcast will be produced and ready, and then the release will be out, hopefully today. So we set the date for recording before, assuming that everything goes out on Wednesday as usual.
Yeah. Well, there was the 11.5 release candidate is out, or has been out for a week. So that's what we are basing things on. And I there wasn't any changes on it from the features or the PRs. It's just the build process. Yes. All right. So we have a few new features. Do you want to talk us through us or start?
Yeah, so let's start with the block support changes. So in the previous episode, we mentioned the gap block support feature, and that was still an experiment, and it was implemented on the TeamJSON side, but it was disabled by default. And now we have this supporters UI for that. And it's pretty simple in the dimensions panel, if I recall correctly. We have this control that allows you to change the gap between blocks. So the name is still to be settled as far as I know, because it has in the world of design, there is something similar that might be confusing. But, it works like you just change the numbers and just increases the spacing between blocks. Mm-hmm. And unrelated to that, there is also a change in the group block. At the moment, the group block, it has this layout option, like layout control, that allows you to change how it is presented. So by default, it just uses every block in the group is like in its own row. However, this new feature is just integration with the inserter that inserts a group block with every block rendered in the same row. So they are aligned, next to each other in one line, which is pretty nice for some complex designs. And this is just, it's there. It was there in the group block. It's just the new way of discovering this feature in the inserter and in the slash inserter when you are typing in the prompt in the editor.
Yeah, it's the first implementation of the flex layout, or that I think Riyadh actually put the basis in with 11.4. And now this is the first iteration where one block is actually using that. And of course, there will be more. And in the PR, if you want to follow up on that, there are some links back to the flex layout. It goes one.
Yeah, but I think the flex layout we talked about or two episodes before. Right.
Yeah, but it was that was not a block that came with it out of the gate, and it's also part of the what's in 5.9 being the intrinsic design of pages. So there will also be another change is actually that the bug report form, which is one of the most important forms on the GitHub repo, has received some changes. And the ones that are here in that release are more cosmetic, but I wanted to point it out that the new template feature of GitHub is now used, and they created a new bug report form to remind people of all the information that would be helpful if someone would take on an issue to fix it. So there are, I encounter quite a few issues where we needed to find out what actually the user used as what versions they are, or what are the steps to reproduce it. Yeah, those are very important information. And if we have to kind of read minds, what's actually happening, we might not get to that, reproduce the error or the quirkiness that is, and we have to go back and ask for further information, and that is just delaying the time of the fixing. So following the form is now much easier and you don't forget anything. And also wanted to point that out for those who are in the GitHub repo and let us know when or let the team know when there is something to be fixed or not working right.
Yeah, that's a nice change, because usually it ends up like someone needs to ask for more details, and after a few weeks, if there is no answer, the issue is closed, which isn't something we really want. It's just the reality, because we cannot reproduce the issue.
Yeah, and it's not questioning the experience that the person who posted. Yeah, it's just we need to see it, or we need to be able to reproduce it to locate where the code change needs to happen to actually fix it. So it's just saving a lot of time, and be very specific in what's not working. Yeah. Yeah. So, and the next, the block library got some new enhancements, and one of them is using the block gap between columns, blocks. And so there's another iteration of a new feature. Now you can.
Yeah, but this is only change on the CSS level for now, as Rich Tabor in the PR set is a stopgap for block gap.
Nice. Yeah.
Fun with words. But that's the direction. I guess most of those layout related blocks should start using those design controls elements that to make the experience more cohesive and in general like the direction where it's heading.
Yeah. And there was an article in the WP Tavern about what controls somebody could use, should use, or core should be having and out of default and not changeable, who's having control over themes. And I think there were some misunderstandings. Matthias went into the comments section and clarified a few things regarding that. So if you come across that article, go into the comments and see what Matthias has to say as well. Matthias Ventura, the spark of Gutenberg, just to reiterate that. The video block got an enhancement and is to use the existing video poster image on insert. The video block has become quite powerful and quite flexible. There are six or seven different settings that you can have in the sidebar that you can switch on and off. And this feature is now that once you assign a poster image to the video the first time, it remembers it. So when you embed it into a page or post again, because it's in a different context or it's in a series of videos or something like that, you don't have to assign the poster image again. It will remember it. And it's all about the effort to streamline the content creator's workflow.
So there is also a change in the query pagination next and previous blocks. So there are very low level blocks that construct the query pagination, which is part of query loop block, but it's like shows how flexible the inner blocks paradigm is. And there is now an arrow attribute that syncs next previous block arrows.
It was there before, but it wasn't really good visible in the sidebar or for people to check on. So now there are real settings that are big buttons that you can click. So it changes. You were always able to change the text of your pagination from next previous page or something else. Yeah, you say low level, but it's also quite an important block, because when you get to full site editing and you write your own templates and you have a list of blog posts or from a category or from a tag, and you have multiple pages of those, you want that query pagination to be available and also be usable. Yeah, so it's quite an interesting, especially for publishers that have online magazines or so. All right.
Yeah,
so
there is also change in the post author block, and it got Duoton support. At first, I was surprising that, but there is an avatar or the image of the user which gets this feature, which is, again, is like good to have way to apply similar effects to all images on your page.
Yeah, or just kind of make it blend in more into the overall design, because it's just it's a small avatar, and to normalize it amongst all the authors that you have on your site. There's also the wide alignment control now is only available if the theme provides the layout wide size setting. I think that's a change to how, if you have, so you can adjust that setting through the theme JSON again, and not have to, you don't have to do it through the functions PHP now.
I think in the past you would enable full and wide at once, right? So it just gives you more grained control over those features.
Yeah, you can now decide, okay, I only want the wide but not the full, or you only want the full but not the wide kind of thing. Yeah, so that's a good point. Yeah, thank you.
And there is also a quite important change for the navigation screen that's being in works and like preparing for the final release. So they added undo and redo buttons in the editors. Like, it's the same feature that you have for the post content editor in the headers. So it was just missing there, and definitely an important change.
Oh yeah,
when you are
all in the streaming of the content creator's workflow, streamlining.
Yeah. It's also related to the keyboard shortcuts. Like, if you, some of you probably use Command Z and Command X. No.
The redo, I don't know. Yeah. I never redo, I only do undo.
Yeah, so Command Z is the most popular one because you want to go back.
Yeah, I need to find out what the keyword is. I forgot about it.
Yeah, you can check this out in the Gutenberg editor when you go to the header, and there is three dots, menu, and then you have keyboard shortcuts as one of the options.
Yeah.
And that's the simplest way to check all the shortcuts and learn new if you don't know them yet.
Yeah, and there were other changes to the navigation screen, and I just wanted to remind our listeners that it's not yet in the plugin per se. It's still in experimentation, so you need to go to the Gutenberg menu in the WP Admin and Experiments section, and then check the navigation screen so you can test it for yourself and try and help us help getting tested and do a lot of bug reports there. There is also a change. The REST API team is working on creating the endpoints for the navigation editor for the menu. At the moment, I think it's all through the admin AJAX, but the final version will use the REST API like any other places in the block editor. Yeah, speaking of screens, there's a widget editor, and it now received a widget group block for the widget screen, which is quite nice now to follow the idea of the classic widgets, where you have a heading and then a widget, but you can change the title of it. Now you can add the heading to and the widget into a group and then get a little bit that more contained, and keep them together and style them and have a background of it and all that. Yeah, so it's more like what the user was accustomed to when dealing with widgets. The widget group helps with that.
Yeah, so I would say it's more to bridge the experience for everyone familiar with the widgets old screen. And it's like, seems like a good change in that regard.
And I like it, yes.
I don't know how it works technically. So when you insert a widget, does it wrap it with the group out of the box now?
Yeah, I think you can highlight, like you do it in the post editor, you highlight the things that you want to group, and then you transform it into a widget group.
Okay.
Yeah, so the widget group has all the group block settings as well in the sidebar. All right, there are some enhancements for the global styles or fixes. Now you are able to disable text and background colors via the theme JSON. I thought you were doing that before, but maybe it didn't work.
As far as I know, it's related to some mock-ups that were presented. So the idea is that you would be able to disable almost all the color like customizations, or like one by one, and maybe that work only for the link before. And so there's a few.
I think they changed a little bit the logic on how sub components are shown in the color panel. So link color is enabled when the block supports it, the theme supports it, it's false by default. So it needs to be switched on, or either the present contains some solid value or the custom colors are used. So presets and some color. So you need some color presets. And the same is true for the text color, the background color, and the gradients. Although the gradients, you need to have either the custom colors in there or it's an empty, and so it's disabled. So, but for both the link color, text color, and background color, the block needs to support it, the theme needs to be supported, and the default are different for each of them. And then the presets need to contain values for it. So that's quite a good set of logic there. Yeah, so they streamlined all that logic. And then now they are making the global styles available for all themes. That's in PR 334. I like that number. 34334. So the preset classes for colors and font sizes were in the block library, and they are now part of the global style sheet that's loaded later. So that's a change in the style sheets that's enqueued in by default. And then the preset classes look like .preset-class. So there are some changes for if you need to target those classes. You might want to look at this again here. There is a post.
I just shared a link with you. Mm-hmm. From Andre, who is one of the lead developers on the Global Styles project. Mm-hmm. And he explained how the experience of using WordPress presets looked before TeamJSON and how it changed, how it got simplified. So that would be a good read in this context. Yeah. Also in the same PR that we are talking about, this 34334. There is a dev note sketched already that will be published later in the release process of WordPress 5.9. And it also just covers what you, Birgit, just said. But it's pretty complex, so I guess that's mm-hmm. something that
you definitely want to
process at the time of learning how to use those presets.
Yeah, then the media placeholder experienced another change, and well, now you can create a URL for if you wanted to add an image through the URL of the image, you only could use absolute links. So it needed to start with HTTP because it was a URL input type on the placeholder, and that has changed to a text input type and some verification, but it's also now you can actually use local URLs. So if you know the URL of your image that you want to add to a gallery or to a post, and you can now use local URLs and don't have to put in the domains, which is actually good when you move the site to a different domain, or you have just an image that's somewhere in a different place than at the WP content uploads directory. Yeah, that's definitely a good thing.
I personally was surprised that when you are using input HTML tag, when you set the type to URL, it expects the full URL. And that was the original issue that caused this change, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it was only Firefox. Yeah, but the browser developers kind of really tightening up the browsing experience. And so that was a part of their verification, so you wouldn't be able to add it to that.
There is also quite important change for team developers. So now there is a default, there are default editor styles that are applied to themes without theme JSON and without editor styles. Sounds complex, but it's just something that is even considered for the minor WordPress release, like 5.8.2 now. Mm-hmm. And it just adds some basic styles to all sites, just to ensure that the experience is better for the block editor in particular.
Yeah. So it displays well out of the box, even if the theme editor, the theme developer has not updated the style sheet for the theme. So I think that's a good place to for the adoption of the block editor that we are all working towards, that more and more people adopt that, especially in the themes. If it's nice looking out of the box, and they don't have to go back to the theme developer to style a column or to style images, or the wide and full width, or the media and text that there are quirks, I think that's a good decision now that theme developers can control it through theme JSON and their own editor styles. They can just unequeue the default styles. That's a good work there. Ah, here it is. Of course, every time, and you hear me say this on this podcast quite a bit, every time you have a new feature, you also need to provide the opt-out of the feature. And here it is, allow themes with theme JSON to opt out of the block gap styles. So there is a mechanism there how you do this. And
yeah, I think it's also related to the fact that it was opt-in at start. So now that's probably it has become a default. So now you need to have a way to disable that if you don't like that. Yeah. And now we moved also to the new API sections with this item on the list.
Oh, yeah. We have so many sections in this release node.
Very long this time.
It's very nice, yeah. But it's also...
Yes.
It's pretty much in the settings of your theme JSON. It's settings, spacing, block gap, null. That's how you opt out of that.
Quite a common way for all those global styles-related features. And that's the only item in the new APIs. And now it's time for bug fixes. And as usual, the list is very long.
Yeah, but there seem to be not really big boo-boos that we have fixed. And you find in the list under the block library fixes for the gallery block. And I wanted to point out that those are referring to the gallery refactor. So this is the newly created gallery block. And it's still an experiment in the Gutenberg plugin. So if you want to do the navigation screen and test the new gallery block, you have to enable them also on the experiments screen of your Gutenberg plugin.
You can always test the new gallery block on the new navigation screen, and that's like two things at once tested properly.
But don't do this in production. It's called experiment for a reason.
For new websites, I wouldn't worry at all about enabling the new gallery factor block. I think the fact that it's in experiment still is only because of backward compatibility.
Yeah, I would not say only. I think it's a big part. It's a big part, and it's also part of the headaches that they are there. But it's also, so if you want to switch it on and you need a list of test instructions, I'll link in the show notes to the GitHub issue 29882, because there's a list of 40 tests that you can do, everything you can do with a gallery block, you should do. And we are preparing on the developer relations team, we are preparing an official call for testing that would hopefully get more people involved. And we will also reach out to the plugin developers to make sure they know about the new plugin, new gallery block, and update their features. I know that the developer team has already tested a few plugins like CoBlocks and Jetpack blocks, gallery blocks. So, but there are many, many more that need to be tested. So if you have questions about that, feel free to DM me. You send me a direct message on WordPress Slack at BPH. And again, the test instructions that are right now out, that also the developers use, is the issue 29882, but of course we link in the show notes. Just want to make sure that everybody knows this is coming and it's cool. So what's the refactor? When we talked about it before, well, we always have new listeners. The gallery block as it is now is just a feature parity with the old classic editor gallery block, where you have a list of images and then they're all pulled in, but you are not able to do much with those images except for moving them, or and you are not able to adopt styles that are only for one image. Yeah, there and the new gallery block is now a collection of single image blocks. So with which come all the features that you can do for from an image block, like obviously be it duotone, duotone, be it applying styles, applying backgrounds, adding a link to each, a different link to each image, and all this nice features. And so it's a much richer experience for editors, and you have much more freedom for it. But it needs quite a few testings because of that switch of the inner blocks. The extensions will change as well. So I tested it about 2 months ago, and I found that the gallery plugins that I used were working fine, but I'm not using all of the gallery blocks. So. And it might have changed because there was some development on that. So. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. The best part here is that now it doesn't matter whether you are changing an individual image that is standalone block or it's part of the gallery block. You have everything unified, the same controls, the same capabilities. It's pretty cool to see that working this way.
Yeah.
And also all the extensions you have for the image block are now also in the gallery block, which is cool.
Yeah. Cool is the right word.
Yeah.
So,
and we are still on bug fixes. So one of the changes that got that landed is for the writing flow. It's in the block editor now. When you merge two blocks together, the current position of the cursor is put in the better place than before. I don't know what exactly was the issue, but it's very annoying when you need to use arrows to move the cursor to the proper position when you change this type of modification, like when you have two paragraphs or or similar text-related blocks.
Yeah, and then we get to the experiments, but we have been talking about experiments before. So, but now you are able to put in the navigation block the site title as well as the logo. And that makes it much nicer to assemble a header for a site when you use full site editing with that. It's now really easy to have a logo and the site title and then the menu all in one line. And try it out and see if that works for you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see how the gallery block will evolve, because the same features that you have now in the navigation block could work there as well. So I can imagine that you could inject a site logo also inside the gallery, because why not? That would be also in some ways, you know, you could have some designs where that would work. And in general, like the idea of inner blocks, this is what we really want, because it just opens so many possibilities for designs that weren't possible before. You had to hard code that in HTML in your PHP files. And now it's like at your site, you just need to move some blocks around, insert something, and just aligns nicely.
It's a good point, because now you could have a 3x3 grid of images, and the center could actually be a poem or something like that. Yeah, that is not an image, but a text. Yeah, and so the inner blocks really open up quite a few more possibilities, especially on the gallery block. That's why the refactor is so important. And also that's why it takes a little longer to merge into the plugin, because there are some things that need to be changed there for backwards compatibility. We also get the social links now use the flex layout. That means that you can arrange the social links either vertically or horizontally, I think. And yes. Also have the block gap in between, so you can have the distances also controlled. So yeah, all kind of different things are available now in the social links block.
Yeah, those design tools are really powerful. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm looking forward to have them all stable and released as part of WordPress 5.9. Mm-hmm. And I hope it happens.
We need testers. We need people who test things. So yeah. The more bugs you find, the better the release will be in 5.9.
Now we are at the documentation, and in this section, do you see something that is a bigger one, because there is a lot of typos that were fixed or some tooling that was improved, like ESLint? It's, you know, something that is more internal for the Gutenberg project. And yeah, some improvements to bring the documentation up to date, like replacing with select calls from WordPress data package to use React hooked, which is called use select.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I guess there isn't anything very important that we have to mention today. And again, there is a code quality. And this section, it's very long.
But that's your favorite section, right?
Yeah, I mean, it depends what's inside it.
Yeah.
And there are some changes to bring code up to date, like similar to what I said about using most recent APIs that were developed, and some linting errors, which is for those who don't know. So there are some special validation for the code quality that helps us catch some bugs. And whenever they show up or the tools get updated and they are better at catching those bugs, we try to fix this as soon as possible.
Exactly. And yes.
There are a lot of refactoring that doesn't have any impact on the user interface, but help for the longer, in terms of long-term support for the project.
No, I get it. So that brings us also to my favorite section, at the various section. And there's one item in there that I wanted to point out. That's the vertical heading levels menu. When you insert a heading into the block editor, you get a list of levels. Yeah, H2, H3, H4, H5, H6. And now you can have the heading can now be vertical. And I think it's by default vertical now, instead of horizontal as it was before. So it only covers a certain different amount of content when you have the toolbar right next to the block. It's quite nice to look at that. And so you'll just go with the mouse, pointer up and down instead of left and right. So, but that was a update. And then...
Yeah, I think initially in the first release, it was also vertical, but then... at that point, there were only H2, H3, and H4 options in the menu. So it was short and it was quite easy to, like, on the visual level, it would look better. But then you had 6 options, right? Like right now. And there was also text for each of them. And it just was too much to see H1 and heading 1. And it's like that. This is why those iterations were applied now.
Yeah, and it also came from the query block when you have not only the heading block, but also the post title block or the archive title, then the context of that menu was a little bit different and you were covering up too much of that query block that you tried to template things. So, that was the other part. The heading is now multi-usage, so to speak, and not just a mere heading block.
Yeah. And the last item is very important one. So I hope that's not the case for our listeners. But if you are using WordPress 5.6, then the Gutenberg plugin won't be supported anymore in that version. So you need to have at least WordPress 5.7 to be able to still use the Gutenberg plugin.
So you say newer version of the plugin.
We recommend using the latest one because that makes everything so much easier. But we also know that, you know, when there's a new major version, that some sites cannot be immediately updated. So we wait for one more major release. But in the future, we consider that this period of time would be shorter. Like maybe 2 months, 3 months, something like that. It also depends on the major release cycles. Now, this year, we have only 3 major releases. The plan initially was to have 4. That wouldn't be that much of the issue. Mm-hmm. But with 3 releases, it's just too much time when we have to support code that is no longer necessary in the plugin. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, so to make this specific, if you are on 5.6, only Gutenberg plugin until 11.4 will work with your WordPress. So you can use the plugin, but you won't get the updates after, unless you upgrade to the next version 5.7 and your WordPress. I don't know if I made it clearer.
Yes, you know. So, I don't know. I don't want to test that, but.
Well, if you have any questions,
encourage everyone to stay on the latest major version, which is 5.8.
Yes, 5.8.1. Yes. All right. So this was the Gutenberg 11.5 changelog. It's quite an interesting mix on that, but most of them is design tools and theme related, and some of them is related to some blocks and also for the content creators flow. So it's a nice release again with a lot of people bringing, we have quite a few new contributors now on the Gutenberg repository, which is a nice change. Now we are coming to the section of what's in active development or discussed. And because it's so, the next thing, that big thing that comes into WordPress is the navigation block and screen, or that's what everybody's hoping. And Daniel Richards posted an update on what are they working on. And it's, of course, it's still progressing and they're migrating the navigation editor, and I mentioned it before, to the REST API. And those changes have been merged and it's all updating. Now, lots of UI changes that are working now is the top bar editor top bar being updated, the main block inserter added, and then affixes to the block styles. And now I come to the important part, is a good discussion is underway, he writes, on how to provide backwards compatibility for custom fields on existing menu screens. And that covers the part where now the plugin Advanced Custom Fields has a section where you can augment the menu in the classic menu with additional fields and additional information. And the discussion on that issue is how far should that, because the team works under the assumption that it needs all be backwards compatible. And it's the issue, if you want to follow up and not go to the show notes, 31551. Is the issue with the navigation screen menu items custom CF options. And so there's a discussion, and Elliot Condon, the lead developer on the plugin, is in the discussion as well. So help make this, so we need you to also chime in. And then what they're working on next is that they want to have, so in the current editor, menu editor, you can say, okay, give me all the posts or all the pages kind of in things. So your bulk adding links to your menu, that is still, that's still in the works for the navigation screen, the block-based navigation screen. And also to have theme JSON controls to configure the navigation block further, that still is in the works.
It sounds like a lot of work to be
Yeah. But those
I mean,
all
Yeah, I'm sure all of those tasks are there in progress. However, you know, to take them to the finish line is going to be a quite a huge challenge, because we have like 4 weeks between go no go dates. Mm-hmm. So it really depends. Also, I could envision that the new navigation block would be included in core, but maybe not the navigation screen. So that's, you know, there is a lot of ways to proceed in this regard. So let's see how it works. I hope that the screen will be enabled, or like probably an opt-in is the only option they consider, similar to the widget screen that you need to enable yourself.
Yeah, I think so. Especially with the backwards compatibility, because these menu plugins that are out there, and it's not only the Advanced Custom Fields plugin that modified the menu pieces or menu entity or the link entity in the menu screen or menus. There were other plugins, or be it the mega menus or be it some others that, and they need to be backwards compatible. Oh, the other part was naming menus. Yeah. So when we build sites, we sometimes have a footer menu, a header menu, and a main menu. And we need to name them and make them available to pull in into any other screens there and make them available for full site editing as well. So there are a few things that this powerful feature in the classic WordPress, it's hard to reproduce it and be as flexible as it is now.
Okay, so that's all about announcements. I just wanted to remind that I'm taking time off, and unfortunately that coincides with the next Gutenberg release. So together with Birgit, we decided to skip recording in 2 weeks, and we will cover 2 Gutenberg plugin releases in 1 episode. And that should be available for you in 4 weeks.
That's right. We will take a break from the broadcast. And I hope you are subscribed to the newsletter of the Gutenberg Times, so you can still get some updates in between, or just visit the website in between. Before the end of the show, I want to remind you that there is actually a live Q&A coming up on October 7th at 16 UTC, 11 Eastern, when we discuss the building, going from building classic themes to building block-based themes, and with Ellen Bauer, Carolina Niemark, and Anders Noren. We will entertain you there and answer all your questions. So I'm thinking I will ask them to actually stay for, instead of 60 minutes to 90 minutes, because we will have some demos and we want to make sure that we answer all your questions. So there will be a link on the homepage of the Gutenberg Times. And of course, we will have it in the show notes. As always, the show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And this is episode 52. And if you have questions or suggestions or news you want us to include, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com.
Wanted to remind that you also can reach out to us on Twitter. So my handle is GZIOLO. And you, Birgit, is BPH, right?
Right. Okay. Well, and I say thank you, Greg, Jagosh. It was, again, great pleasure to talking to you. And I wish you a wonderful vacation in Greece. Until the next time.
Thank you, Birgit, and our listeners for being with us. And you, Birgit, wish you a pleasant flight back home and see you all in 4 weeks.
All right, that's it. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.